Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Woody Hall. Woody's the Assistant Commissioner and Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Customs Service. And joining us in our conversation is Craig Petrin.
Woody, the next question revolves around customs modernization and the length of the program. It's projected, as you mentioned, to take approximately 15 years overall. In managing a project that large, how do you decide, you know, what to do first at the end of the timeline? How do you ensure that, you know, what you did at the beginning, you know, 15 years before, still up to date?
Right. I think planning is the key. And when you're dealing with a horizon of 15 years, the planning has to be both long-term and strategic and short-term and tactical. And this has to be an ongoing process that allows you to update, to adjust to new requirements and changes and new developments in technology and so forth. Actually, adopting this 15-year horizon was something we did after I arrived at Customs, because folks were tending to think of this as what I call little M modernization. They were just thinking about the automated commercial environment project, which is just a piece. Actually, what needed to be done were virtually all of these mission critical systems had been developed in the 80s. And at the time, they were all very state of the art. And they still service very well. As I mentioned earlier, though, they don't meet our needs in terms of automating current business practices. And they're built out of components that are just expensive to support, if they're supported at all. So we needed to move on. But you can't do it all at once. So you've got to decide, what are you going to do first? What are you going to do next? So we developed this vision of starting with what's essentially the commercial part of the customs mission. It's where the revenue collection is. It's where most of the interaction with the public and the trade is. And it just seemed to make sense to start there. And that's where the business process reengineering was done first, is trying to reinvent how we do the business of customs. Now, we knew even then, and this was predates 9/11 by a couple of years, that the enforcement part was important. But the enforcement part tends to be what we use. And so the impact on the public wasn't as clear, and so we decided to make that the next phase. And then the third phase was envisioned as our administrative systems, personnel systems, finance systems, procurement systems, and so forth. So that was simply an attempt to kind of prioritize this and kind of spread it out over the 15-year horizon. For the second two phases, that's basically it. We've just kind of made some rough order of magnitude estimates of how long that might take and what it might cost. And then we focused on the details of how are we going to execute the first phase. And that brought us to the automated commercial environment. So this, but a number of things have to fit together to make this kind of plan stay viable over the long run. First of all, you've got to keep everybody aware of the fact that this is not just one project, that we envision replacing all of our mission-critical applications, and we've built the infrastructure to support that in the first phase, but that has to be expanded to meet increased workload and kept modernized if it's going to remain effective. And so folks have to remember that this is a long-term sustained effort. In fact, I'm not sure the 15 years is when it's done, because you have to keep modernizing these things as you go. But it was a useful way to think about the totality of the effort. And then we have a very active internal strategic planning and capital investment and enterprise architecture processes that all have to play together. And these are other ways that you can keep the information about what you're trying to do and what's important current and synchronized. The strategic planning piece is how we stay in touch with our customers about what their strategic mid and long-term objectives are, so that we can be thinking about the technology you need to support those operational requirements. The capital investment piece is how you link all of this back to the budget process, which is where the money comes from. And then the enterprise architecture is really the engineering piece that marries that all together. It's where you define what you currently have, what your current baseline is. Then you map on your future requirements that you're trying to move towards. That helps you understand what the gaps are. Then the gaps have to be turned into programmatic initiatives. That's where you make your investments in new hardware or expanded communications capacity or you tee up new applications development efforts. So all these things have to be done, and they all have to be kept current. And so we have created these processes. They're all linked tightly to not only the modernization piece, but the legacy piece as well. And we've got people who full-time, that's their job to keep these documents current and to keep these processes active and viable. And one of the things that's made it easier to do this at the U.S. Customs Service is I have full support from my peers at the executive level and from the front office. The commissioner and the deputy commissioner are very actively involved in the governance of these processes and helping us make the priority decisions and make sure that the resources align with the priorities. And that's really what you have to do to make sure that the pieces fit over time and that you're able to adapt to new priorities as they emerge, because things do change.
How will you or how are you measuring the success of the program?
Well, actually, we have a fairly detailed set of metrics that that we have created and are measuring parts of the program against. The success of the modernization plan, I believe, is determined by measuring performance results against the custom strategic plans, performance targets, strategies, and objectives. Our current focus is on the automated commercial environment, and we're looking at the desired business results that are derived from that strategic plan. These desired business results, as we call them, have about 500 associated performance measures. A subset of those performance measures is used to evaluate the success of a given release or part of the program in terms of meeting results and objectives. Eventually, we should see that the automated commercial environments fulfills these once it's developed and fielded. And for example, you know, some of these desired objectives have to do with things like cycle time. They have to do with the effect of the quality of the data that's being provided, have to do with the success of the targeting that we do. And so the real key here is we're not just measuring technical performance of components. What we've really done is invested a lot of time. And by the way, the technical people didn't do it. We had inspectors and agents and import specialists and folks who do the work of customs helped develop what these measurable operational characteristics should be. And so the idea really is to make sure that you can quantify the improvement in your operation from the investment you made in the technology and the systems.
It's a somewhat related question in terms of, you know, risk. I mean, large programs are inherently risky. What are you doing to manage, you know, the risks over the course of the project?
Well, a number of things, and you're right. Risk can't be eliminated, but it does have to be managed. If you were to attend one of our recurring program management reviews, which we do frequently at the working level, these things go on weekly. At the executive level, they go on at least monthly. Risk management is actually one of the elements of these program reviews, and what we have done collaboratively with the group of contractors who are working with us to build the system, and with heavy input from our operational users, we have identified a list of issues that present risk to the success of the program. And we track those until we feel like we've either closed the issue or we've managed it. But we try to keep a clear eye on the things that aren't as under control as we'd like them to be so they can be managed and mitigated. We've also undertaken a number of process improvement efforts. One is the Software Engineering Institute framework for how you improve the discipline and manage your place along that evolutionary path to have a very defined, very managed, very coordinated process for developing systems. And I think, like most everyone else who is in the software business or in the information systems development business, we've kind of moved away from a culture that kind of felt like a pottery barn where everybody was an artist and they had their own way of defining and building systems and wanted to put their own special marker thumbprint on the product, to one that really may not be as much fun, but it feels more like a factory. I mean, it's very engineering discipline oriented, lots of documentation of design, lots of test. The actual development of software has actually become a fairly small piece of the time you spend on developing a system. We spend a lot more time on the requirements definition and design part, and then the test and acceptance piece at the end, which kind of sandwiches the actual building of the system in between. But we've invested heavily in developing and documenting these new procedures, training people to use them, coordinating how our folks interact with the vendors and contractors that are working on this important project. And so the management process itself has gotten a lot of attention to mitigate risk and improve our probability of success.
That's a good stopping point. We got to go to a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Woody Hall of the U.S. Customs Service. How is Homeland Security changing customs? We'll ask Woody for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.